Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 1st of September, recording at 9:10 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today, and there were some dramatic ones. First, the Asian stock markets were generally strong, with the ASEAN sector very much to the fore. And we also had a good jump, over 2%, in the Australian stock market, and India was quite strong as well. Now, in Europe, however, the gains really took off, and we had moves of, the lowest I see was 2.5%, and up as high, that was for Switzerland, and up as high as 3.81%. for France. And in the United States, we had nearly 3% for the NASDAQ composite and the S&P 500 index, 2.5% for the Dow. Pretty solid gains in the Central and South American indices. Brazil up almost 3% as I speak. Now, against that background, you won't be surprised to hear that government bond prices were hit quite hard today. The U.S. was down 2.25 points at one stage, but it's pared that back a little bit. It's still down over 3/4, 1.75 of a point on the futures. And the US dollar was soft. The dollar index is down 716 points as I speak. It brings it back to 82.48. The dollar, however, is a little bit firmer than the yen, which must be the weakest currency in here today. Crude oil bounced back, currently up 206 at 73.98. Gold had started off firm, but when the stock market rallies took off, it moved a little bit into the minus column. So gold bullion had a high on the day of 1254.73, but closed $10 below that. And we had similar moves in a similar move in silver, but palladium was strong, up 18 here today, and platinum was up 13. Natural gas was soft again, down to 375. The industrial metals were all strong. Copper, a barnstormer, closed at 347.70, or it's trading currently at 347.70. That's up nearly 11 cents on the day. In the grain and bean sector, corn was the standout with solid gains, but it's sort of a generally quiet session. And other soft commodities, I see sugar is a bit firmer, coffee's a bit firmer, mostly firmer. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of global stock markets, I've been saying for the last week that we had short-term oversold conditions. We were testing some prior support levels. What we lacked, I'm talking now about Wall Street, European stock markets, because the ASEAN sector, India, these had all been remarkably firm, and the South American markets had been very firm, the smaller ones at any rate, such as Colombia, Peru, Chile, had been outstanding performers. But in the West, not to mention Japan, which had been even weaker, but in the West we had these underperforming stock markets, which had fallen back. Most of them were above their July lows, but not all that far, and they were back down by the sort of May-June lows. And the point I'd been making, including yesterday in the audio, was that what they lacked what we were waiting. What we needed to see was the sort of upward dynamic that would signal that a good bear squeeze was commencing. Well, we got that today in spades. So a terrific upward dynamic coming nicely on the 1st of September. That will lead to some reassessments and some strategy changes here overall. The prior bearishness, the level of the prior bearishness, which I've described frequently as, in my opinion, irrational pessimism. Not that the U.S. economy isn't going through horrendous problems. Good heavens, it certainly is. A credit crisis is big trouble. And as I said yesterday, 100 years of history have shown us that you get a credit crisis in various regions or countries around the world, and on average, it takes 5 to 7 years before they recover. So, yes, that's very tough, but a lot of American companies, which are leveraged to the global economy, which is doing much better, have been turning in very respectable profits, and they've also got strong balance sheets. So that's quite. I maintain that that's extremely important, and I see no reason why they should collapse, because the global economy certainly isn't collapsing. And the big debate in the U.S. is whether it's going to double dip. I think not, but the thing is, the point is that growth may be slow enough to make it feel like a double dip recession. But, you know, maybe not. The ISM manufacturing data today was stronger than expected, and that helped a little bit in terms of the rally. But we were ripe for a rally, and today indicated that we're getting some buying in here. I mentioned short covering, but I think there's also bargain hunting, and I suspect that this will gain momentum as well. Now, in describing that, some of that rational pessimism, I also feel that there was some gratuitous pessimism out there, in the sense that it suited a lot of people to try to talk the market down. And people with large short positions, for instance, I suppose, you know, there's nothing wrong in expressing those views, although it's not exactly Marcus of Queensbury rules, is it? But people with short positions, and those would be hedge funds in the perfectly respectable business of running long short funds, but they're very happy when they've got the short positions on, and they certainly did, then they're very happy to have the market go down further and farther than might otherwise be the case, because that means markets tend to fall more quickly than they go up, but that also means that they have an opportunity to take bigger profits on their short positions and buy what they want to buy when the turn comes at more attractive valuations. I maintain that the valuations on the sort of companies that we like, high yielders in the West, companies that are leveraged to the global economy, fuller money themes, I maintain that they represent good value. Okay, so where are we going to go here? Well, I think we'll go back up to the higher side of the range. We've been in a very Sisyphusian range where, you know, the boulder gets rolled up the hill and then falls all the way back down, or most of the way back down, and starts to go back up again. So I think, well, there's no doubt that September has gotten off to a fine start. I wouldn't be surprised to see some follow-through. Long-dated government bonds are vulnerable against that background. I've described it as a mania here, and we've just seen an astronomical flow of funds into the bond markets. But as one commentator pointed out, It took all that buying, ballpark figures. Some people said 500 billion of private money had gone into bonds. But then think of all the government buying. That was the biggest of all through the quantitative easing. And it still didn't push yields down to as low on 10-year bonds as they had fallen back in 2008. Whereas we see endless articles quite rightly pointing out the shift out of equity mutual funds by U.S. investors, yet the U.S. stock market hasn't gotten anywhere near its 2000 March 2009 low, and I don't think it will. If I'm wrong, the first sign of a problem will be a break beneath the late August lows. But nothing of consequence can happen on the downside without first seeing a break of the late August lows. Meanwhile, as I've said, I think markets are going to go up, and if they're able to hold their ground throughout September, that would, I suspect, be a favorable background for the year end. Meanwhile, I would expect a number of these Fuller Money themes to run to new highs in with a tailwind behind them, and with the Wall Street leash effect, which has been a headwind recently, also becoming a tailwind for a while. What about precious metals? I've mentioned on a number of occasions that when stock markets are rallying, then gold and other precious metals will face more competition. So, if stock markets are rallying, I think that's less good. It's not bearish for gold, but it'll just remind people that gold isn't the sole game in town, along with overextended bonds. But I think when stock markets are rallying around the world, for the most part, that's better for industrial metals than it is for gold and silver. Now, copper, this is quite interesting again, and if copper breaks back above the 350 level, and I suspect it will, given the strength that we saw in here today, there are a lot of people who will talk about Dr. Copper. I've always regarded that as a banality, but certainly there are a fair number of economists and other analysts who look at copper as a lead indicator. I won't dispute that, and I like the action. Crude oil, well, it had a big bounce last week, then fell like a stone yesterday. Started to weaken the day before. Started to weaken on Monday, but good bounce in here, taking it back up to 74, and I think we'll see further gains again with some correlation to stock markets. Corn is, I mentioned earlier, is quite firm in here today. A subscriber friend of mine who is a specialist in this market says the corn crop that people are talking about isn't going to be quite as good as people thought it would be. The quality of the corn won't be quite as good. And he said that last year as well, and that was absolutely right. So I'm happy to maintain a long position in corn. And what else to mention? I think that's pretty much it, so I don't want to ramble on. Roll on tomorrow. I'm sure it'll be interesting. Meanwhile, all the best.